come to church looking for a little bit of sympathy today. We got in the car, and as we were driving, coming out our driveway, I turned to Debbie and I said, you're very fortunate to have me. I said, there are not many people who have a professional spiritual advisor 24 hours a day. A medical tech, cook, and chauffeur. And I knew it was coming. She looked at me and smiled, and then she struck me. Sometimes when I finish a sermon, I think of what I should not have said. And sometimes I think of what I wish I would have said. So I'm looking for some sympathy this morning, because our sermon today takes us into one of those areas that's not exactly gray, but it's not really clear and distinguished either. I'm sensitive to those that take a dual application of prophecy and bring it down to current day events. I get a little uncomfortable with that type of theology, although there are some double applications of Scripture that I see that can be really beneficial if we keep an open mind about it. Just stay with me. I want to talk about the mighty house of God, but not in the sense of a house of worship. And your song, Ulrich, about living with God as our master forever and ever, that was beautiful. But my sermon today doesn't quite go that direction. But it would be the end result of it. I started this little study this week and doing this dual application scenario back and forth. And it was just experiential for me. You're saying, well, Wendell, tell us what it is. Come on. Over 1,700 times in the Old Testament, the New Testament, the concordance lists the word house. Now, I didn't read all 1,700. I didn't have time, but I did read every one in the New Testament. Each time it uses the word house. And the word house is used as a house of worship. It's used to mean a congregational, international group of people, such as the House of Israel. It's used to designate a place of worship in a dwelling house. It is used to designate a house where people live. But it's sometimes used to refer to the human body. So we have several different spiritual applications to the idea of house. Especially if you turn to 2 Corinthians, would you turn there with me? We will come back to Zacchaeus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. This is not speaking about mortar and brick and lumber. is speaking about the body, and he compares it to a house. He says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this old tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." So there is some consideration in a broad sense of applying an interpretation to the idea of house. You see it used in several different ways. Turn with me back now to chapter 19 of Luke, the story of Zacchaeus. Luke 19 and verse 1. "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, but he could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way." Hey, I've also learned this week that the translation of sycamore has some variations as well. Now, I'm not trying to change or correct the Bible, but another correct interpretation would be fig tree. Okay? And in the story here, it's so simply stated, some of the details are not given to us here. And in a previous sermon, I mentioned that Zacchaeus had listened to John the Baptist preaching. And Zacchaeus became convicted that his thievery was wrong. As he would take up the taxes, he would charge people more than he should. It was customary, but his conscience began to hurt him. He became very dissatisfied with his life, and he wanted a better life. He wasn't exactly sure when he was going to get it. So you take his physical house, and Zacchaeus says, "I want something better. When I go to sleep at night, I want to feel like I've accomplished something. I want some more self-worth. My mother and father taught me better than I'm living today. I want to make it right with my God and with my community." He just did not know when the opportunity would come. And I think if we're really honest with ourselves, for every growing, maturing Christian, there are times when we go down that memory lane and we look and we are reminded of the beautiful picture of Christ's arms reaching around us, and we want to go back to that first love and sense his all-consuming presence in our lives. Now, Jesus wants that for you too. I'm suggesting today you do not have the authority nor the ability to figure out exactly when that's going to happen. And I want to prove it through this kind of dual understanding of Scripture. When Zacchaeus got up this morning, he did not know what was going to happen to him. He wanted it to take place. He genuinely wanted his life to take on a benefit for people rather than the thievery he had been engaged in. There was an honest reaching out, a silent prayer before God. "I want God's presence. I just don't know how to get it." And he certainly did not know he could get it that day. He hears the crowd is coming. Now keep in mind, he's also looked around, and he is aware that Jesus likes tax collectors. At least he likes one. Matthew is one of the inner circle there with the disciples. So he's got that faint ray of hope in his mind that Jesus is not just going to exclude all tax collectors. He feels compelled to place himself up in that tree so he can watch the crowd and meditate and evaluate some more as to who this Jesus is. He didn't know it was going to happen that day. When he saw the crowd, he didn't know his life was about to change forever, right then and there. The crowd stops at Jesus' command, and Jesus looks straight up in the tree. And you know those immortal words. He says, "Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm going to your house today." Now, if we take a little dual visionary approach to what Jesus said, Jesus was saying, "Zacchaeus, yes, I want to go to your literal house. Okay? I want to go see where you live. Introduce me to those that are around you. I want to go to your house." But on a deeper theological level, if this body represents the house, do you see where I want to go here? Jesus was telling Zacchaeus, "Zacchaeus, today I want to become your one supreme God. Today I want to make everything right in your life, past, present, and future." Now the decision is in verse 6. "So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully." This morning when Debbie hit me, even though it wasn't that hard, my first immediate thought was, she needs to be rebaptized. I didn't say it. I get hit again. Verse 6. Our attitude really is important when it comes to growth. Zacchaeus made haste. He came down, and the scripture says, received him joyfully. Let's go to another place. Will you let me leave Zacchaeus just for a minute right here? Turn back to Matthew. And let's go to chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. "A house is not mighty unless it has the presence of Jesus in it." In Matthew chapter 7, among other things, we have the story of the man who built his house upon the sand and the man who built his house upon the rock. Beginning with verse 24, Matthew 7, 24. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." What image of the house does Jesus want us to see? If you read the commentaries, yes, The foundation being one man digs way down deep, he places it upon the rock, and his house stands firm when the hurricanes come in and the big storms. But if we can take it just a step further theologically, if there is an application here of the house being our spiritual house, can we do that? I think we can. It says that if we have built a spiritual house with deep experiences with God, when the storms of life come and the billows of pain and suffering sweep over us, we will not break, we will not fall, we will stand, because we have built our hope on the rock of ages, Christ Jesus. Something else I want to share. Turn with me to Matthew 24. I've never seen this particular thought this way. And I've preached this chapter many times. And you've heard it, the signs of Christ coming. Verse 43. But know this, that if the master of the house, I think the King James calls him the good man, but if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Now, is that speaking about a literal house? Yes, it is. Jesus is going to make he's in a parable here. He's in a story. He's in a teaching mode. If you know when the thief is coming, then you would watch and you would not allow the thief to come in. But could we take it a step further theologically? If the master of the house would have known in what hour the thief is coming, he would have been watching and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. I shared with you the story when Debbie was in the hospital, and some very well-meaning person came in to visit and said to me, "Pastor, if you just have enough faith, Debbie will be healed." And I sat over on that bed made by the devil that's, you know, always designed for the whoever's staying with this person. And until the wee hours of the morning, I looked up every text I could on my little iPod. I don't believe that. I told you that story. I didn't realize it then. That's significant to me personally. I think the devil was trying to attack my spiritual house. But Jesus says, now watch. You don't know when the attack is going to come. There's something far greater in experience on the good side than the attack of Satan on the bad side. I want to read the next verse. Verse 44. Therefore, be ye also ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Coming where? I know what you're going to say. First application here, he's coming in the clouds of glory with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Yes! Believe that. It's solid. But I think you have every right, as you are growing and maturing in Christ, to take it just one step further. You do not know when the voice of God can speak to you in this life, today. Let me share something. One day this week, I was outside walking up and down our driveway, having one of them Stover God times. I probably done more talking than he did, but that's what was happening. And my phone rings. You know not what hour the Lord doth come or send somebody to speak in his place. Our good friend, you know him, the chaplain at the hospital, Dave Smith, he called. And he says, "Hi, buddy, how you doing?" I just believe that God has us always in his care and in his attention more often than we recognize, and just might be that sometimes he's tried to speak and we've just not been aware of it and we've missed the mighty blessing. Paul describes the body as being the temple and that God wants to dwell within the temple. But we are privileged to allow him to do that. And we don't have to wait until the great getting up morning to begin enjoying the blessings of God's presence in us. The scripture is filled with stories of Jesus bringing good things and salvation and healing to people who never knew they were going to receive it that day. I've got a long list of them here. Luke chapter 5, he heals the man who's had leprosy. What about the man who was a paralytic and he was stretched out on his bed and his four friends took him to the house and they could not get in the house and they took the shingles off. Remember that? I promise you that man had never engaged his mind in the fullness of what could happen to him that day through the power of Christ. He would be able to get up and to walk and never have to take another aspirin. There was a man who had the withered hand. Remember that story? All curled up and he must have been ashamed of it everywhere he went. Maybe his body leaning over to one side. And Jesus said to him, "Let me see your hand. Stretch it out. Be healed." And his hand became perfectly restored to health. That man never expected the Son of Man to come to him that day. But Jesus came on time, on schedule. And that dear woman at the well. See, that's one of my favorite stories. Her life would never be the same. Jesus had this unique ability of being able to just take his words, and his words would just reach right into the heart of people and grab right where they needed to be grabbed and just hold on. How about Cornelius? You know, God came to him in a dream. He didn't know all that was going to take place. You could put your name into some of these stories, or into a story yet to be told, that we should be ready. For the Son of Man is going to speak to you or use someone else to connect with you. Maybe at the very time that you least expect it. Went to get my hair cut yesterday, can you tell? And she asked about Debbie. It was like a counseling session, me sitting in the barber chair. The Lord comes to us in many different ways and experiences, but He always comes. He wants to come to your house today. I hope you let Him. In your own way, whatever it takes to open up the heart's door and say, Lord, come. I hope that you will do it. And I wish for you a good week as you look forward to opportunities to be Christ representative to other people, but also let other people be Christ's example to you. Lord God, today we assume that each one of us is going to heaven. We assume, Lord, that you want today to be one of the most special days of our lives. That you don't want Satan breaking into our spiritual house or our household with our loved ones. That you want, Lord, you want us to see what we can be through your presence in us. And that is a mighty house. We look for your coming. And we shall be bold enough to say, Lord, we expect you to help us this day. And let us help someone else as well. Keep us until we meet again in Jesus' name.